listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Dan Frivoli joins us from Bleacher Report. The NBA postseason begins tonight. Eastern Conference playing games. If you're a traditionalist, they probably won't start until the 7 and 8 seeds are all set. And we're actually in best of 7 first round series. But nevertheless, this is the way the NBA is doing the postseason in 2021. Like kind of like what they did last year. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Let's get right to it. So in terms of this play-in game, I know what the NBA was trying to do here. There was some buzz about players not liking this. In the end, do you think this is something they will stick with?
I do. Just given how many teams were still playing for something later in the season, there was still probably the usual amount of shenanigans heading into the last day or two of the year. But when you look at the final week, final 2 weeks of the season, there were still 23, 24 teams playing for something. And I do think it dissuaded some level of tanking where you only had like 5 or 6 squads that were really trying to lose for, let's say more than a quarter of the season. And so I do think it's something that they'll stick with moving forward. What will be interesting is, will there be more of a negative backlash in a year where maybe there's more distance between the 7-8 seeds in the conferences and then those 9 and 10 spots? Because if you're a team, the Lakers, and you are so much better than the 9-seed Grizzlies, where 4 games isn't a huge separation right now, but if it was 6 or 7, how do you feel about the idea that you could potentially lose your playoff spot to a team that was that much worse than you during the regular season?
Yeah, in the East tonight, you got Washington and Boston, and these are teams that are kind of heading in the wrong, opposite direction. Celtics are really beat up, and the Wizards got off to an awful start to the season, but then turned it around. In terms of the way you see, how do you see that particular matchup this evening?
That one's tough to get a hold on. Bradley Beal is dealing with his hamstring strain. It was visibly impacting him during their final game of the regular season. I am more inclined to favor the Wizards a little bit just because they are going to have Bradley Beal at all on the court. Boston's missing Jaylen Brown. Kemba Walker was a little bit better before he missed the final few games of the year, but he's been a roller coaster, and Boston is fairly shallow, where I feel like Washington's discovered some depth over the past few weeks, particularly on their front line. So it's a game that's tough to get a feel for, but the way that Russell Westbrook has been playing, and given how much better the Wizards' defense has been over the past 7-8 weeks or so, this feels like a game that they'll be able to win.
In terms of the West, that big matchup on Wednesday, Golden State and the Lakers, and one of those teams is going to be the 7 seed going up against Phoenix. And if I'm Phoenix, I don't care who I'm playing. I would be worried about either team. But in terms of Golden State, is it all just Steph Curry? Who is contributing to what they're doing this year besides how much points Steph Curry's pouring in every night?
Draymond Green has been huge defensively for them. They have quietly one of the 5 best defenses in the league, and he's really the driving force of it. Andrew Wiggins has been really good on defense for them this year as well. On offense lately, they are still very much all Stephen Curry everything, but Jordan Poole has picked up his play ever since he returned from a right ankle injury a few weeks back, and particularly over the Golden State's last 5 games. And if he's going to hit some of the shots that he has been off the dribble, that might help Golden State navigate life. One, during the minute Steph isn't on the floor a little bit better, but also just give them a variance with how they can attack a defense like the Lakers, which is built to, they can't stop Stephen Curry, but they can definitely make life difficult on him. They can disrupt Draymond Green's high pick and rolls. So Jordan Poole is going to end up being their X factor in that game. And it's still one you look at where I think the Lakers are definitely more scarier, but Golden State does feel like a more well-rounded squad given how much better some of the supporting cast has been playing.
Over in the East, Brooklyn will get the winner of tonight's Celtics-Wizards game. Only 8 times we've seen their big 3 play together, and there's a reason. There's been injuries. Is that a concern in this postseason? I mean, how healthy is Brooklyn going into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think that's a fair concern. James Harden looked good when he came back from that hamstring injury, but you're still sort of ramping up, and now you're going to get a good amount of time off here, which either could help or hurt him because how long will it take for him to get his game legs about him. I don't think there's a concern on the court necessarily. We've seen that the offense is going to be lights out when you have basically even one of the 3 on the floor, and the minute that all 3 of them have played together, they've been absolutely nuclear. I think it comes down to their defense for them. They do switch a lot. Are they going to be able to do that against every matchup? Does that actually help them? And they have to figure out how they're going to close games. Who's going to be their go-to center in that situation? Will it be Blake Griffin, Nick Claxton, Jeff Green? Will they play two of those three guys together at points? So they have a lot of issues facing them on the defensive end still, but I think they're going to be fine offensively.
If we can see Philadelphia winning a title, if we can see Brooklyn winning a title, is Milwaukee in that group? I mean, Drew Holiday is a definite upgrade, and of course they've got Giannis. Are they championship or bust in terms of this postseason?
Yeah, they should be around that territory, especially given their first-round opponent is going to be the Heat. And so given what happened last season, you at least want to show that you can beat this team rather decidedly. I do think they belong in the same tier with Philly and Brooklyn. Giannis has shown that he can attack in some different ways this year. They've used him more as the screener. And like you said, Drew Holiday is a massive upgrade on offense over Eric Bledsoe. That's going to help them a ton against the way that Miami's probably going to defend them. And they're even a little bit more versatile defensively this year. They switched a little bit more. We've seen them go to zone as well. Giannis has defended a lot more of the five this year, where he's not off the ball as much. I think they are far more playoff-proof than they've been over the past 2 years. But the issue of Giannis's range and then the offense overall when they can't get out in transition, that's still a fair question, and they're sort of in prove-it mode. And so if you end this season with anything less than an Eastern Conference Finals berth, I think it's fair to paint it for them as a failure.
All right, let's go to the Knicks, because I think there's been a lot of fun buzz about this Knicks team, and they're fun to watch. And all jokes aside, they'll probably be angry at Tom Thibodeau a couple of years down the road, but right now they love playing for him. But what's their ceiling? I mean, they're not in the same category, but they are a 4 seed in the East. What would be a good result for the Knicks in the playoffs?
You want to see them put up a fight in the first round, and this is the series that I don't know that you should say they must win, but that they're capable of winning, and I think that's what you're looking for, because as good as they've been this year, as good as the defense has been, there's still a very placeholder-y feeling with them. There are a lot of players on one-year contracts right now. You have to make the decision of how do we reinvest in this roster? How do we get better from here aside from keeping Randall and Barrett in place and having Emmanuel quickly? And this is a good measuring stick going up against a team that's been surging in the Hawks as they've gotten healthier. And if you can put up a fight where this is a tough 6-7-game series, if you can win it, I would think that the first round is probably their ceiling, just given the team that they're going to have to face in the second round. It's going to be a Brooklyn or Milwaukee in that scenario, it'll be probably a Philly in that scenario. But I think you want to see them make it last and show that their defense can hold up and that the improvement from players like Barrett and Randall at least translates into the postseason.
That defense, and that's kind of the staple of Thibodeau, it's grinding and it's tough. I don't think they could win a second-round series against those elite Eastern Conference teams, but can they make it messy with that defense? Can they make it a really hard out?
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking at the Sixers specifically, where their half-court offense can bog down a little bit if Joel Embiid isn't hitting his outside looks, that's a team where maybe they could turn, going up against that elite squad into a 6 or 7-game series. They are very selective with who they allow to take three-pointers, the Knicks are, and they have guys who can really swallow shots at the rim. Joel Embiid is obviously very physical, and I think he poses problems on their front line. Nerlens Noel is just very, very slight. And so are you going with Taj Gibson a lot at center? You probably can't get away with Randall or Toppin playing five in that series. But I do think the defense, especially when you're looking at what they do on the perimeter, the pressure, the help that they give there, that can make life difficult on just about everybody.
Let's give it a feel on the Utah Jazz. I mean, when they win games, they win them by a lot. Donovan Mitchell had the ankle issue. They got Rudy Gobert. In terms of a 1 seed, how powerful is that Utah Jazz team?
They're certainly powerful. I do think there's a level of concern knowing that Donovan Mitchell missed the rest of the regular season, and so he's going to come back to the start of the playoffs and is just has to ramp up from that point. Does that impact their offense at all? The bigger question for them will just be how can the defense hold up against, it could be the Lakers that they're playing, it could be the Warriors they're playing, so you have to defend it from the jump around Stephen Curry or LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And they do have the best defense in the league per possession, according to Cleaning the Glass, but they don't have that one lockdown defender to go up against the bigger wings. You do have Royce O'Neal to throw in a potential matchup with Stephen Curry, but that's not someone that you can just expect to neutralize. And so I'm a little bit more concerned with what they do defensively, because what Gobert does around the rim may not be as valuable against one of the two opponents that they're going to face in the first round.
Well, whoever wins in the Western Conference 7-8 play-in game is going to get Phoenix. There is the same kind of conversation around the Knicks, which is playoff experience. Do you buy that as sort of an Achilles heel for a team like Phoenix?
I do. I think it's fair because last year what they were doing in the bubble, even though it wasn't the playoffs, you didn't have any fans, and now you will be in places, whether you're playing the Lakers or the Warriors, where there will be opposing fans in the stands on the road games. Does that impact role players at all? And as you already alluded to, you only really have Chris Paul and Jay Crowder with serious playoff experience. That's definitely a factor, but they've been so good this year. They've beaten very good teams a bunch this year, and also their shot profile with the way that they're able to get to their mid-range jumpers and make them, those are looks that defenses are going to give them in the playoffs. And so it does feel like a lot of what they've done during the regular season is going to translate. And so if you're willing to paint them as a favorite against maybe the Warriors, I would understand picking them to lose against the Lakers, but they're still a team that I think should be fine leading into the playoffs despite that experience factor.
Last season, the Denver Nuggets came back from 2-3-1 deficits in the bubble to get to the Western Conference Finals. Now people were saying, okay, now it's you to make a next step. One of the fun parts about their series against Utah was Gary Harris was Donovan Mitchell. Harris is gone. Jamal Murray tore an ACL. Will Barton has been out for a while. They've got Jokic, but does he have enough help? Can the Nuggets take that next step we all kind of thought they could after last season?
I think their ceiling is definitely capped to where I'd be shocked if they came out of the West now without Jamal Murray. But the way that Michael Porter Jr. played in his absence, if that shot-making is going to hold up in the playoffs and he's going to be able to work on the ball a little bit more like he did during the tail end of the regular season, they're still closer to a championship contender than not. Jokic has not only been spectacular this season, he's been one of the most clutch players in basketball. He's hit a ton of ridiculous jumpers in those moments. He's been able to scoot by guys off the dribble. You just couple that with his vision, capacity to make everyone who's on the floor around him better. They are a little shallow when you look at some of the other injuries they're dealing with, specifically P.J. Dozier. But I think beyond the first round, if you assume that they beat the Blazers, I still think they're going to be a problem for any of the Western Conference elites that they end up facing.
Dan, great stuff. Really appreciate your time as we kind of ran through quickly all these teams. I really appreciate it. Hope we get you on again soon. Thank you, my man.
No problem. Take care.
You got Dan Frivoli, Bleacher Report, going through the NBA playoffs and some of the teams to watch for as, the play-in games in the Eastern Conference tonight, play-in games in the Western Conference tomorrow. Progressive guest line, quote, buy and save on a home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Some thoughts on the postseason, especially the Nuggets at that 3 seed in the West when we come back on Wake Up Call.